Welcome to The Late Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Well, we're in lesson number 63 today in the study about the Messiah. Yesterday, we talked about the triunity of God and three distinct personalities. Today, Tom Murray will teach what the rabbis have had to say about the Messiah for a long, long time. Join us now as Tom continues our study.
Well, welcome back to our study in the Messiah of the Old and the New Testaments, but today we're going to begin to explore what the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis down through the centuries have had to say about the Messiah. And one of the passages that I want to deal with is what the rabbis actually say about Isaiah chapter 53. And the first thing we want to point you to is the paradox that their interpretation creates, because anyone who really sets himself to the task of seeking to biblically know what the Old Testament has to say about the coming of the Messiah will soon find himself involved in a paradox, if you will. At times, it even seems that you are faced with an outright contradiction in the Scriptures, because the Jewish prophets gave a twofold picture of the Messiah that was to come. On the one hand, as you study what is revealed in the Scriptures, you will find numerous predictions regarding the Messiah that portray him as one who is going to suffer humiliation, physical harm, and finally will suffer death in a very violent manner. We've already done that. Now, this death that the Messiah was to taste was stated by the Jewish prophets, and also they stated that his death was to be a substitutionary death for the sins of the Jewish people in the Hebrew Scriptures. But on the other hand, the one who is seeking the Scriptures and the Hebrew Scriptures will find that the Jewish prophets also spoke of the Messiah coming as a conquering king who was going to destroy all the enemies of Israel and set up the messianic kingdom of peace and prosperity. Now, that's the twofold picture that the Jewish prophets gave in the Hebrew Scriptures of the Messiah. Now, for centuries in the past, during the period even of the formation of the Talmud, the Jewish rabbis have made serious studies of all the messianic prophecies which we have done in previous broadcasts. And the Jewish rabbis finally came up with the conclusion that the prophets were actually speaking about two messiahs. Now, the Messiah who was to come and suffer and die, the rabbis termed the Messiah the son of Joseph. You remember Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery and taken into Egypt. So they say, well, that Messiah, Mashiach ben Yosef, was the one who was to come and suffer and die. But then the second Messiah, who would then come following the first Messiah, was termed Messiah, or the son of David, because David was the king and the royal line would come from him. So the second Messiah in rabbinic teaching was Mashiach ben David, or Messiah, the son of David. Now, when this second Messiah came, he would raise the first Messiah back to life that was killed for the atonement, and this second Messiah would establish the messianic kingdom of peace on earth. Now, the Old Testament does, in fact, present two lines of messianic prophecy. And that was something that even the earliest Jewish rabbis recognized, because the Old Testament clearly states that there will be two messiahs. However, it doesn't actually say that these two appearances of the Messiah refer to one person or two different persons. The point I'm making is that the Old Testament prophecies never state that there are going to be two messiahs. It does not say that. In fact, many of these paradoxical descriptions are found side by side in the very same passage. And it becomes very clear in those passages that only one person is meant to be referred to. But for the earliest rabbis, the two messiahs theory, and that's what it was, seemed to be the best answer they could give to the Jewish people. Now, for centuries, Orthodox Judaism held the concept of two messiahs. Now, since the Talmudic period, the Talmud is what the Jewish people now would call their Bible. It consists of the Old Testament scriptures, but it also consists of a group of rabbinic interpretations and sub-commandments, which were originally called the Mishnah, and then added to that in the year 90 AD or thereabouts, was a work which was added to the Mishnah called the Gemara. And so the Gemara and the Mishnah blended together became Talmud. And during the Talmudic period in the history of the Jewish people, it is the son of David, or the second Messiah, that is played up in the imaginations of Jewish hearts and their minds. The other messianic person, that is Messiah, the son of Joseph, or the suffering one, is almost always ignored in present Talmudic teaching. Now, he was there in Jewish theology, this suffering Messiah, whenever he was needed to explain the suffering Messiah passages that actually existed in the Old Testament. His existence provided an escape clause for the rabbis when thorny questions were raised by Jewish inquirers. Otherwise, this second or this first messianic figure was simply largely ignored by the teaching of the rabbis. Today, there are few Jews who have ever even heard of the first Messiah, Mashiach ben Joseph, or even know of his existence in Jewish theology in all of the centuries that now lie behind us. The only Messiah that Jews today know anything about is the Messiah who is going to come and conquer Mashiach ben David, or Messiah the son of David. Now, one of the major sources from which the rabbis developed their concept of the suffering Messiah, or Mashiach ben Joseph, was from the very text of Isaiah chapter 53. And the present day bone of contention regarding what the Old Testament says about the Messiah centers on this particular chapter in Isaiah. Because the passage speaks of a servant, the servant of Jehovah. And this servant of Jehovah undergoes a great deal of suffering, ending in his violent death. The chapter 53 goes on to state that this suffering is a vicarious suffering, and that the death of this Messiah is a substitutionary death for sin. In other words, Isaiah 53 clearly says that the Messiah is suffering and dying for the sins of others. Then the passage goes on to indicate that the servant is in fact resurrected following his death. And the bone of contention is not so much over what the Isaiah 53 passage says. The bone of contention is, of whom does it speak? Now the question today concerns, of whom was Isaiah speaking in Isaiah 53? Did he prophesy concerning the Messiah in this passage? Well, the rabbis say that this is the Christian interpretation of Isaiah 53, and it is not the Jewish interpretation. They will say that the Jewish interpretation is that Isaiah is speaking about the people of Israel. That is, the Jewish people are the one who are suffering in the Gentile world. Now that is the Jewish interpretations, the rabbis would say, and this passage does not speak of the Messiah at all. But to make Isaiah 53 simply speak of the collective body of Israel seems almost to force an interpretation on this passage. Because if the passage is taken by itself, the passage seems to have only one individual in mind, not a whole nation. But the conflict is not merely between the Jewish interpretation of Isaiah 53 and the Christian interpretation, because the history of Judaism shows this to be otherwise. The interpretation that Isaiah 53 is referring to the Jewish people is actually a very recent interpretation. The original interpretation of Isaiah 53 by the Jewish rabbis has been that it is speaking of an individual, the Messiah himself. And if you'll come back in our next broadcast, I'll explain to you what historical Judaism taught until very recent times about how Isaiah 53 was to be understood in the Jewish world. I'll see you in our next broadcast.
Thank you, Tom. And isn't this a great series? You can get copies of this series by calling us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. And you can also reach us at our new website. The address is www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for our free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. Now make plans to join us tomorrow right here for The Lay Disciple.